You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Shelter Church. We're so glad you're with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. If you're back, thanks for coming back. And if you've been with us a long time, we're so glad that you make Shelter a wonderful, safe environment for us to follow Jesus in. We want to welcome those who are watching us online on our live feed. So give them a round of applause. Thank them for being here too. Thank you guys. I don't know if y'all know this, but we also have a podcast. So if you're one of those people who exercises, and for some reason you want to listen to this while you do that, you're welcome to. You can check that out. Also, Chris will also have, he did our message first service. So there'll be another podcast. So if you don't like my interpretation, if you're just like, this is not something, you can listen to Chris. He has a totally different perspective, and God could speak to you through that from first service. We're talking about the basement, and each week in the basement, we're going to be playing you the main scripture for the week, and it's read by our recovery folks on Tuesday, and they're a great group of people. If you haven't gone and checked it out, please check it out. We're all in recovery. We all have issues, habits, hang-ups that we need to get over, and so they're reading our main scripture passage, and our main scripture passage for this week is talking about this rich dude, okay? And this rich dude, he's a religious leader. He walks up to Jesus, and he asks him, how does he inherit eternal life, right? And we'll get into all this. We'll unpack this, but I want to just open by saying this. What happened in that story, maybe a little weird. You're like, what's going on here? Like, Jesus just asked this man to sell all of his stuff, and what does that mean, and all this stuff. But I want you to look at, in that passage, how this man, he had tried all of his life. He'd obeyed all these commandments. He probably went to church a lot. He kept all these rules. He was a goody-two-shoes, okay? Fair to say. He had his life neat and clean, and he was pursuing the approval and the acceptance of this Jesus figure. He wanted to be good enough, right? He was trying to prove good enough to inherit eternal life. And Jesus points out something in his life, his wealth, that was holding him back from the life that he was building. His addiction to his wealth, or the fact that his identity was wrapped up in his wealth, prevented him from living the life that he built and living the life that he had tried to all of his life, pursuing this kind of good enough status. And what I think is true, whether you're a Christian or not today, is that there are things in our lives, in our basement, that we keep below the surface. There are things that maybe we hide from other people. And here's my point today. My big point is that there's a thing in your life, probably. And that thing in your life is keeping you from the life that you're building. It's the thing that you want to hide from everybody else. The thing that you're hiding from everybody else in your life, your loved ones, your family, your friends, is the thing that's going to keep you, probably, from living the life that you live. And we'll get into that. But before we do, I want to just pray real quick. If you will with me, because there's just been a lot going on this week. And Lord, we just want to lift up our brothers and sisters and the people in Nashville. We know what it's like to go through something like that, and we just want to pray a prayer of blessing that you would watch over them and take care of them. And whatever is going on in the world, whether those crises be ecological or psychological or personal or global, Lord, that we pray that you would bring peace and you would just watch over those your children on this earth. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so a guilty pleasure. How many of you have a guilty pleasure? And I have a guilty pleasure. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about an old guilty pleasure because I want to be vulnerable, but not too vulnerable. Okay, I don't want you to know everything about me, but I am going to be this is very, very vulnerable, okay? Just hang on. So a guilty pleasure is when you like something that you're really not supposed to like because of your identity. You like this thing, but if it got out to your friends, to your family, it would turn things upside down for you. And I'm going to talk about a guilty pleasure I had in middle school, okay? And I'm the last generation who grew up with, like, Saturday morning cartoons, okay? And that's sad, right? Like, morning. I turn on the TV on Saturday morning, there's nothing there, okay? And you may be thinking, middle school, aren't you still in middle school? And the answer is no, okay? I'm 23, all right? And I put on my own shoes and I drive myself to work, okay? All right, peace. So in middle school, what would come on first, early was Power Rangers, and I love Power Rangers, okay? And for a while, I really wasn't supposed to watch Power Rangers. But I snuck down. I was really young. I snuck down, and I would watch it. And sorry, Mom. I would sneak down in our basement. We had a TV down there, and I'd watch it. And then there'd be another show in between that and The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, which was my other favorite show. And what I ended up doing is I just started watching this show. And if you want to pull up that, this is the show that I started watching. And I swear, I didn't like it at first. I had no idea whatsoever. I'm like, guys, listen, the man card was taken a long time from me. So anyone who's like, give us your man card, it's gone, all right? It was gone a long time ago. So Hannah Montana, now, okay, if you're a middle school boy, there's two things you're trying to do. You're trying to be cool and you're trying to be manly. And that undoes everything. So I didn't let nobody know about my Hannah Montana life, okay? Now, I didn't have a poster, and I didn't buy any of the songs, or I wasn't in my room like, you got the best of both. I wasn't like that, okay? I wasn't. Never was like that. Never was like that. Anyway, but Hannah Montana, it's interesting, because Hannah Montana leads right into what I want to talk about today. Because Hannah Montana, the basis of the show, if you haven't watched it like I have, come on, if you haven't watched it like I have, Hannah Montana lived a double life, okay? She's just this typical girl, Miley Cyrus. She's in middle school, high school. But then on the other side of things, she's a pop star, okay? And she keeps those lives separate. And what's funny in the show is that she has friends from high school that end up seeing her as a pop star, and then she has to deal with this double life thing where she's like, oh, shoot, I can't let this friend know that I'm a pop star. So average everyday life thing, right? We all deal with that. But I think we do. I think we do. Maybe not on the level of Hannah Montana, you know? Forget all that. Just put that out of your mind, okay? Use that as an example, but never remember that I told you this, okay? This is not going online anywhere. But we all have, I think to some extent, we've lived a double life before, right? Maybe it's a little thing, maybe it's a big thing, okay? But we've all had a moment like this. Have you ever had a moment where you know that you've got two groups of friends and they're going to meet eventually, and you are trying really hard to make sure that they don't run into each other? Because you're different around this group than this group. Growing up in youth group, man, I had that a lot. Because there's just some things that you say and do around these kind of friends that you don't say and do around these kind of friends. And maybe that's following you into your life, like maybe it's following me into my adult life. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're living a double life. Maybe you're expending time and energy and money and resources to try to keep something. I'm not talking about like not letting people be discreet, having discretion, or not letting people know. I'm not saying that you should post about your life on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. But there are things in our lives that we're keeping from our loved ones, from our friends, from our spouses, from our bosses at work that we need to be letting them know about. We're keeping things and we're having to live this double life. Because some of us, and I know this is true because I've done it before, are clearing our search results. Some of us are going a different route home from work. Some of us have two phones. Maybe you've got a message account where you're talking to somebody, haven't let your spouse or girlfriend know about them. And you're like, it's no big deal. It's just a friendship. But you're trying to keep that stuff in the basement, to keep that stuff below ground, below the surface. And what I want to talk about today is this phenomena where we all have it. We all have things where we want to make sure we hide them. We want to hide these things. But the truth is that we would reveal them, they would actually help us in our life get where we want to go. We think that we need to hide them, but that's because we buy myths about ourselves. We buy into these lies about our issues and habits and hangups, whether it be a Hannah Montana show on the smallest end, or you've got an addiction or a serious problem on the other end, we all want to look good on the outside, right? We all want to prove to people that we're good, we're cool, we're smart, we're funny, we're successful. And most of our lives, we are exhausting ourselves, guarantee you, trying to prove to everyone else in our life that we're like one of those 5, 6, 7 things, maybe more. And maybe some of you are here today because you're trying to prove to somebody that you're good. You're trying to prove to somebody that you're cleaning your life up. And folks, that is exhausting. And whether you're a Christian or not, it's not how Jesus wants you to live. It's just not how Jesus wants you to live. But I think that we do that, we hide, because we've bought into some myth about ourselves, about our issue or our habit or our sin or our addiction. How many of you ever believed this myth? If I keep it buried, if I keep it hidden, I can control it. I can control it. It's my domain. How about this one? What they don't know can't hurt them. What they don't know can't hurt them. And if you have ever dealt with anything, that's absolutely true. Everything they know can't hurt you. What are you talking? Yeah, that's such a strange principle, but we believe it. We believe that if I just keep this from my kids, from my spouse, from my friends, I can control it. It's better if I keep it to myself. How about this one? This is the big one. If they found out my life is over, And for me, my life might have been over if I told everyone that I watched Hannah Montana for a little bit. But I can bet you that if people in your life love you and care about you, whatever you're going to do, they're going to help you work through. Whatever you're going to open up to them. And if you're here in this community, we don't judge you. We're here to help you work out issues because we all have them. We all got them. And if as soon as we say, oh, I'm good and I've got everything under control, that's the lie. And that will kill your joy and steal the life you're trying to build, just like it stole the rich man's life. And I think most of us are exhausted because we're trying to prove to everybody else that we're good, that we're smart, that we're funny, that we're successful, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. And Jesus spoke to people. There were some religious folk who were exactly like this, the church people. And these are the good, think of the holiest person you know. Maybe it's your grandma, maybe it's your aunt. Maybe it's Ryan Riddell. Who knows? Who knows? That was no cut at all. I genuinely mean that. Staff meeting this week's going to be fun. So Jesus is talking to these people, the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, we talked about it this morning, they weren't bad people. They had a lot of rules and regulations, and they kept their stuff together. They kept it clean, man. They followed everything in the Jewish law. But the problem was, is that they had deeper issues that they weren't dealing with. Okay? And this is what Jesus said to them in 5. Or, sorry, that's absolutely not the Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. You can turn that with me, but it'll be on the screen. He says this, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites." And if you want to listen, Chris's version is much louder and much better. So go back and listen to that. He said, "Hypocrites!" I liked it. "For you are careful, so careful, to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence." He says, "You blind Pharisee." Jesus, so sassy. "First, wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." That's, but trust me, the more that you think about it, it's absolutely true in our lives. I went out with a buddy and I got some wings yesterday. Okay? I always do this. I always open up the thing on the wrong side. Yep, that was the wrong side. I got some wings yesterday. And if you've ever been to like any kind of wing place, whether that's Roosters, B-Dubs, Frickers, Wings, whatever that is, you get your wings, you get your messy bar food, and you get your grimy hands all over that thing. Oh, yeah, look at those. I would eat these in front of you, but I don't want to get salmonella. And then what you do is you grab your drink, and you take a swig, and then you put it back down, and you got a ton of barbecue sauce all over there. And does that make the cup dirty? No, you keep drinking out that. You don't wipe that thing off. You get, all right, oh. Trust me, if some blue cheese fell in here, if I got some blue cheese in here, would you drink out of that? Yeah, you're bold. I appreciate you. Most of you will not drink that because it's dirty, but it wasn't dirty on the outside. And here's the truth. Here's the truth is that I need a napkin, and I did not bring them out. That was tricky. This is Casey's bag. She's going to hate me. The truth is that we spend most of our lives doing this. All right. Okay. I'm going to make sure that I don't cuss in church. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Or maybe you're like, well, I'm going to
I'm going to make sure that I look up this stuff, not because I'm interested in it, but because I want to impress this girl, guy, thing, person at work. And so you're like, okay, got to look cool, got to look cool. Just cleaning myself up. Maybe you're exercising. You're going to the gym all the time, and you post about it. And you're like, fitness is my life. But you go about once a week. And you're like, yep, looking clean, looking really, really clean. And then maybe you're thinking to yourself, oh, wow, I should really just start to pray and post scriptures and stuff like that. And yeah, cool. And those are all great things. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong about posting about stuff. Nothing wrong about talking about it. Nothing wrong about any of that. You guys are fantastic people. And if you know how to control yourself and project the image that you want to project, that's great. But the truth is that if you don't deal with the anger underlying your fits of rage and your cursing and all that stuff, it doesn't matter. Your life's not going to change. You can try really, really hard to clean it up on the outside. But if you don't deal with the thing that's causing it, your life's still going to be a mess. And I think a lot of us are spending a lot of time, and I see this with church people all the time, is that we spend most of our time trying to convince people that we're good, trying to prove it to other people, and we exhaust ourselves trying to clean the outside of the cup when Jesus is like, hey, I could fix this problem for you. We could just get into the root of that problem, and we could dig that out. Because the root, thank you, God bless you. The root of a lot of our issues is the fact that I constantly want attention from women. And that if I could just control myself and stop doing that, I'd be fine. The real root of that for me is that I don't think that I am cool or good enough. And so I'm always trying to get it from other people. Until I deal with the root of my self-image issues, until I root myself in something greater than myself, I'm always going to be looking for other people's affirmation. And that's going to cause me to do all kinds of crazy stuff. I remember in high school, I picked up disc golf, I picked up airsoft, and I started to like them. But I would pick up all these hobbies and extra things people thought I was cool. And a lot of us in our religious life are doing that. We're not really seeking God. We're just trying to prove to everybody else, trying to prove to our spouse, our kids, that we're good. And folks, that will not get you where you ultimately want to go. It doesn't get me where I want to go. It doesn't help me. This is gross. I'm sorry. I have to look at that all day. Sorry about that. But in order for you to experience the peace that God has for you, you got to find a place where you can be totally yourself. You got to find some people in your life where you can just unload and unpack those kinds of things you're trying to hide from other people. It is exhausting if you do not have a space where you can be yourself. Because you're never going to be able to be yourself all the time, okay? There are just some things I cannot say to my grandma, okay? I can't be myself or, you know, around everybody. There's some things that you need to be discreet about. There's some things that in order to respect somebody else's space, you may not want to talk about. You may need to tone down your personality in order to respect somebody else and their space. But if you don't have a place in your life where you can just be honest and open, that is suffocating. And the truth is that God wants you to find that place. But until you get honest with your spouse and your loved ones and your close friends, you're never going to find that. And you're always going to prove to everybody else that you're good, that you're cool, that you're successful, that you're smart, that you're whatever. And what the truth is, the reason why we're talking about this basement stuff is that God wants you to free you from that process, from that striving, in order so that you can really pursue who he desires for you to be and who you want to be. Let's look at the rich man again. Let's read this. Luke 18:18. I want you to just pay attention to how he uses the word good. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question: good teacher, what should I do? Notice that. To inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, he's being sly, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him, only God is truly good. He said, but to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. you must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. And the man replied, I've obeyed all these things, all these commandments since I was young. He goes, yes, I'm in. I proved it. I'm good. And Jesus recognized the flaw in his thinking. When Jesus heard his answer, he said, there is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And then it says this, but when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. Now, what's Jesus trying to do here? He's trying to point out to this religious leader, this person, this good shoes, that if you're trying to prove that you're good enough, it's never going to be enough. If you're trying to prove to people that you're cool, that you're successful, it's never going to be enough. And you're going to spend your life spinning your wheels, trying to desperately to prove to people that you're good. And the point is, that Jesus is making, is that that's not the qualification for following God. It isn't being good. It's just being receptive to what God has to say. Let's go back into the passage. Verse 24. When Jesus saw this, he said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? He says, in fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And then his disciples, and the people who heard this said, then who can be saved? Who in the world can be saved? If the people who have their life together, who are successful, who have the cleanest cup on the inside, if they can't be saved, who can? And he replies, what is impossible for people is possible with God. And what does that mean? It means this. You can't pull yourself out of quicksand. You can't pull yourself out of quicksand. No matter what you do in your life, we're always going to have something that God is trying to help us get over. And the truth is that we need God to come in and step in and help us out of things. And the goal isn't to prove to God or to others that you're good enough. The goal is to just accept that we need God to step in and step into our basement and help us deal with those issues. God already made you good. God already took care of that. From the creation to the cross to the end, man. He has done enough for you to just be good. You don't have to prove it. You're off the hook. Check this out in Romans 3, 22 through 24. It says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. We've been totally freed from that. We've been totally free from the idea that we have to prove to other people that you're right. So what I want to propose is that stop worrying about those outside stuff. It's okay if you slip up once or twice in church. It's okay. It's okay to let people know that you're not all put together. That's the goal. That's the thing, is to admit, I have things I need to work on. That's when Jesus can come in and step in and really change the situation for us. For me, a lot of my problems recently have been with my anger, and I talk about that. And recently, I've been through some prayer ministry, and I'm trying to discover the root of that. And guys, that is helping me so much. Because I'm figuring out that anger is coming from a place of shame. It's coming from a place where I feel shame and I don't want to feel that, so I'm trying to react out of anger. And so that's causing me issues, you know, in my marriage, in at work. And instead of trying to focus on just looking good, by letting God in, I think I'm starting to really get some freedom from my anger issues. And the truth is, through this whole basement series, that whatever you have, big or small, that you're trying to hide from everybody else, or that you're trying to deal with yourself, the truth is that if you would just open that up to someone, doesn't have to be everybody, but to someone you know that's close to you, that you could get some truth on that, and that could change your life. That could change everything for you. That could change absolutely everything you do. Look at the previous passage. So we read Luke 18 where he's talking about the rich man who has his life all together. And he said, it's hard for him to enter the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is just a new kind of way of life, okay? That's how I want you to think about that. But the previous story was about some kids. Luke 18, 15. Do we have that? One day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. And when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. And then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never, ever enter it. If you've ever been around kids for more than 24 hours, most of them, especially at that ripe age, don't care. Do not care what people think about them. They will have just gone to the bathroom and they'll come out and be like, I did a poo-poo, the whole store. They will yell and scream that they're hungry at the top of their lungs. They will do all kinds of crazy stuff. They will say all kinds of horrible things about you. I was tutoring one time and they told me, they said, that's like a whole nother face up there. I was like, I had some acne at that point, and they were like, what's that on your face? I said, freckles. I lied. I was just like, please stop talking about this. And they were like, no, it's not. I was like, what? Jesus says that those people are going to receive the kingdom of God. But the people who try to keep their lives together and look all clean and be successful and stand up straight, those people are going to miss it. Because in order to receive the kingdom of God, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be yourself. You can't be somebody else and enter the kingdom of God. You can't pretend and enter the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to invite Brandon up, and we're just going to have a time of prayer because I don't want this to be a place where you have to pretend. Okay? This is not a place for that. And I don't know how to deconstruct that because I'm up here and there are some things that about me that I don't want you to know. And I need to work through that. And I'm not saying you got to let everybody know here all your stuff. I'm saying that you got to find somebody in your life who you can be dead level honest with about everything. And that will be so freeing for you. And maybe you need to step forward and say, I need some prayer. I need God to speak to my heart and tell me some truth about myself. Because until you get the truth about who you are, you'll always be looking for other people to affirm you. And that is downright exhausting. So I want to invite our prayer people forward. And folks, I don't know what in your life has happened. Maybe there's been some stuff where you're like really embarrassed about, shameful. Maybe you've got some addictions, some issues. Maybe you've just got something that you haven't told your spouse or significant other. I got a friend right now. It was a tiny thing, and he didn't tell his significant other, and now it's just building into this big problem. And that's what happens when we hide stuff, is that it grows. It becomes bigger, it becomes problematic. And the truth is that God wants to give you freedom from that today. So if God wants you to get free. God wants you to get free. So we're going to pray. And if you need to come forward, just come on forward. So would you stand with me? I'm going to pray through a psalm. It's Psalm 51. And it's after David, this guy, David was a man after God's own heart. And if you read the story of David, he did some messed up stuff. He had a lady's husband killed because he was sleeping with her. That's pretty messed up. And he had to pay some consequences for that. But in this psalm, he gets free by asking God, create in me a clean heart. Cleanse me from the inside so I don't have to keep pretending on the outside. That's what God wants for you. So let's just pray to God. And if you feel, we're going to, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you feel like you need to get some truth today, come forward. Lord God, we thank you so much for accepts us just how we are. That we don't have to clean up our act for you to help us get clean. That we don't have to prove it to anybody else. Lord, I pray that this would be our prayer, just like it was David's prayer. Lord, create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew in us a faithful and loyal spirit within. Don't banish us from your presence. Don't leave us. Don't take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and make us willing to obey you. Lord, we need you. Do this on our own. I can't. And Lord, I pray in our lives, if it's not today, help us to find people in our lives where we can just be ourselves, where we can open up, where we can get freedom and get truth. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.